den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Ja, von Jahr zu Jahr haben
yes,
wir wieder
from year to year,
Konferenz.
Once again we have a conference.
Möge der Herr zu uns sprechen.
May the Lord speak to us.
Wir werden in diese Konferenz, wie wir alle in diese
this conference, just like
jetzt,
what we all see in our outline, we want to talk about the visions
Ezekiel
of God's sehen. Glory in the book of Ezekiel.
Ich glaube, dieses Buch ist vielleicht
I do believe that this book perhaps is a little foreign to many of the brothers and sisters.
Buch, das so einfach ist.
It's not a book that's easy to understand.
Begreifen. Aber eigentlich so schwer
actually,
ist es auch nicht.
Neither it is so difficult.
Wir wollen in diesem Buch besonders gemeinsam über die Herrlichkeit des Herrn sprechen.
We want to fellowship concerning the glory of
Und,
God in this book.
Ah, danke schön. Die Herrlichkeit des Herrn ist
the glory
in der
of the Lord.
Ein sehr, sehr wichtiges
it's a very
Thema.
Important theme in the Bible. It's very important.
Und ich glaube, viele von uns haben
and I do believe many of us have different concepts regarding
oder.
The glory. Or,
aber Ezekiel hat
but Ezekiel
diesen Punkt besonders klar beschrieben.
Described this point very
ich glaube,
clearly.
Niemand hat so klar die Herrlichkeit des Herrn beschrieben.
I believe no one described this point as so clearly as in Ezekiel and in a very and it's also in a very practical way. Without this glory, it will be very difficult for us to go on. The entire Bible shows us that in order to go on and to bring God's work to the end, we have to see the glory of God. And in this book of Ezekiel, I hope that the Lord would give us this revelation that we all would grasp and grasp together something of the glory of God. Let's read a few verses this evening. Because the glory of God has particularly something to do with his house. Let's read a few verses together. Psalm 26, verse 8.
Lass uns das lesen auf Deutsch, ja?
We'll read it in German. Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Amen. Once again. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Amen. The habitation of God. That's the place where his glory dwells. Nowhere else would see the glory of God so clear and as in the house of the Lord. When we say that we are the church, the house of the living God, then people have to be able to see something here, to see glory here. It is impossible to say that we are the house of the Lord and people would see very little or no glory. Now the characteristic of the house of God is that his glory is there. Now let's go on to read Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Isn't that wonderful? to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What do you want to do all the days of your life? Oh, to dwell in the house of the Lord. What for? What do you do in the house of the Lord? To behold the beauty of the Lord. It is important that in the house of the Lord we want to behold nothing else but alone the glory of the Lord. The Lord has to be expressed through the church. Actually, in the book of Romans, it tells us that the entire creation shows the power and the glory of God. God created so many things. For instance, we would go outside and look at this wonderful magnolia tree full of blossoms. It's so pretty. It's the right time of the year. What do you see there, Susanne? What would you say? It says, oh, glorious, right? And what does this glory show? It shows our Creator, that God is so wonderful. Who can create something so wonderful? Can you do it? Who is capable among us in this room to create such a tree? Who can do it? Even the cleverest scientist cannot do something like this. To have a tree there, full of blossoms, so beautiful. Who can say that there is no God? This is his masterpiece. It's a work of art. It reveals how wonderful our God is, how glorious he is. But this is only a tree. That's only a tree. Now, when we see the entire creation, it is really excellent. Not long ago, I saw a picture of the universe. Then I had to say, who can create such a thing? So wonderful, so many colors. The magnitude. That is actually very beautiful. Ria, the sister. Praise the Lord. I haven't seen you for a long time. It's a joy. It's so wonderful. There are so many things in God's creation that wherein we can truly see that our God is so mighty and so glorious, and we see therein the glory of God. But we must say one thing. From all of creation, God has created so many things, animals, birds, right? And so many different living things. Which creation is the most beautiful? Man. Man. Man is the most wonderful one. Why is man so wonderful and so beautiful? Because he is made according to the image of God. One can see the glory of God in a tree. Yes, it's pretty, but it is limited. Limited glory. It is not as glorious as it should be. It is glorious, but when we see a dog, then there's more expression already. It is very nice. It's living. The tree is not as living. But a dog can walk and can do so many things. But yet, it's still not so glorious. But when we see the saints here, when we see the people here, then we have to say, my, who created this wonderful person? we see that this God who created man is so wonderful. It's impossible to see a man and yet not recognize or realize this wonderful God. Unfortunately, man is fallen. They are without God. They rejected God. There are so many people in this world who do not know their Creator. And so when you see them, because man was fallen, it's very unfortunate that we do not see so clearly His image. And to the extent that sometimes we see a different expression, a dark expression, it's not so glorious. Although man should be the most glorious one among all of creation. Now you see, this evening there are so many believers here who have received the life of the Lord. Look at all the saints here in the meeting. Isn't it glorious? Full of joy. Right? Shining. Look at Christian. He is not only created according to the image of God, but he's filled with the Lord. Right? Certainly, the whole entire day you have fellowship with the living God and you prayed. And prepared yourself for the conference and served so much and did so much. And look, he sits there. He's shining. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we see the glory of God? And that's only one person. Can you imagine when so many saints are built up together in oneness to a habitation of God in spirit? There's so many brothers and sisters here, so many saints. When we're all built up together in oneness, what kind of an expression would we then have here? And the Bible tells us that the Lord will fill this house with His glory. This is very important for us to see this tonight. What the Lord wants to have is a wonderful and glorious church. Nothing in this universe can express this God as much as the church can. That is why the church is very important. That's why let's read a couple of other verses. Psalm 102. Psalm 102,
102
verse
7. Christian, kannst du das lesen für uns?
Oh, sorry, it's not verse 7, but verse 17. Psalm 102, verse 17. It's verse 17. Verse 17 is more glorious than verse 7.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, sorry, in English it's verse 16. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Verse 16 in English. So, when does the glory of the Lord appear? When the Lord builds up Zion. That is important. We all want to see that the Lord would come soon. So what is the prerequisite for His return? When He has built up Zion. We all know that in the New Testament, Zion is the church. The church today is a heavenly Zion. And when the church is built, then the glory of the Lord would appear. And then we may say that He would then appear in His glory. We must have a deep impression of this in our hearts. Without the church on this earth, no one would truly see the glory of the Lord. Now, let's then go to the book of Ephesians. Now, we come to the point. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Let's read that together. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Verse 27, once again, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. That is actually the goal that the Lord wants to reach today. Not just to have a church, but to have a glorious church. I would like to lay this on the hearts of the saints so much. It is not sufficient just to be the church. Perhaps we're happy. Yes, praise the Lord, we are His church. We're His church in Hamburg. We're in the church in Aalen, in Pforzheim. The church, His church here in Stuttgart. We often say, praise the Lord, we are the church. But for the Lord, to be the church is not sufficient. He desires a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish and holy. He wants to present to himself such a glorious church, a wonderful and glorious bride. That's what the Lord wants to build up today. Then we need to ask, if I were to ask you, is the church in Stuttgart glorious? Or the church in Neuchâtel, is that glorious? I know there's a church in Basel. Is there a church in Basel? Yes. Amen. There's a church in Basel. What kind of a church is it? A glorious one?
Amen.
Amen. Don't say it so quickly. And what is a glorious church? And how glorious? Is the church in Ulm glorious? Is it partially? Or part of a time. Part of time glorious, some, and part of time dreadful. Do you mean that the Lord wants to have such a church? Part time glorious, part time poor, pitiful. Is a greater part of a time in glory? Or is there more poverty there? what is the proportion? Hard to say. He can't say it. In Hamburg, is that a glorious church or is there just a church in Hamburg? You see, brothers and sisters, we don't have the courage to say that we are a glorious church. No one has the courage to say that because we know that there's so much lack in our church, in the church where we're at. We sense it and we experience it. We have so many problems and difficulties still. There's flesh, there's the flesh, there's a self. And in part, we still love the world. We're drawn by the world. And oftentimes we see that the oneness is also not as it should be. And that's why, brothers and sisters, although we say, praise the Lord, we are the church. In Karlsruhe, for instance, it's nice. Yes, the church in Bangkok, hallelujah. But the Lord not only desires to have a church in Bangkok, but he wants to have a glorious church. What God wants is a glorious church. Not only a church. It's easy just to have a church. Many, many years ago, we were so happy we were the church. Why? Because we're standing on the ground. Hallelujah for the ground of the church. And then later, we fight on this ground. You may stand on the ground of the church. Just as you are. Not transformed. We do not live in the spirit, and in the end, there's even fighting. We do have a church, yet not a glorious one. Do you think that the Lord is satisfied just to have a church here and there? There are enough churches on this earth. How come the Lord doesn't come back yet? Why? Because the church doesn't want just any old church, but he wants to have a church that is glorious. And let me read it to you again, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. What a demand. That is the church that the Lord desires. And when we in the church notice that there is a lot of blemish, what do you do then? Or perhaps with yourself as a member of the church, as a member of the body, you notice a lot of blemishes. What would you do? Many would say, oh, we're just people. No one is perfect. Then the church would never be able to get a church without any blemish. Or, Toby, what do you think? If we all were to say, no one is perfect, right? We like to say that, right? No one is perfect. We like to say that. And we sing the song, just as I am, I come to you. Yes, for salvation, yes. But as the bride of the Lord, as the church, you cannot come just as you are. You cannot come to the wedding feast just as you are. Don't you believe that? Of course, for your salvation, you may come as you are. How else could you come? You have no other choice. But after you've been saved and you have received the Lord, His life, have we not all received the life of the Lord? And the Lord even gave you 60 or 80 years on this earth. What do you do in these 80 years? Do you utilize this time to gain the Lord, that the Spirit would be able to work in you to take away all the wrinkles and make you young and living and holy and without blemish? Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's so many years on this earth for you to exercise yourself unto godliness, to learn to live through the Spirit. But if we do not do that, and we always give a good excuse, how then could the Lord get such a church? Of course, now we're not perfected yet, but we should have such an attitude, Lord, make us glorious. Because the Lord had said so. Oh, he must have a way. Don't you think that the Lord could do it? Do you believe it? Are you sure? Amen? I just heard a few young people saying amen here. But keep this in your heart, that the Lord wants a glorious church. And if the Lord is not satisfied, then we should not be satisfied yet either. We need to pray, Lord, fulfill your purpose here. I would like to work together with you. And begin with me. Not start with the others. Tell the Lord, don't start with the others, start with me. If you don't believe it, then you should read the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 18. I'm sorry. It's Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. The Lord says to us here, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Verse 7. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Isn't that wonderful? His wife has made herself ready. Then you have to go back to Ephesians 5. How has she made herself ready? How is she prepared? Yes, of course, there's a washing of the water in the Word. That means the bride is now glorious, holy. I'd like to ask, especially the young people, do you have the desire in you to be holy? Many people talk about life, about experiences with the Lord, but they do not pay attention to holiness, to sanctification. They do not pay attention to the sanctification. And there's so much mixture. But the Lord wants to have a glorious church. The Lord wants to have a holy church. The more we grow in life, we will be more separated and different from the world. We will not be as common. A glorious church definitely has to be a holy church. Definitely. But a holy person does not necessarily mean that he is a glorious person. But if you want to be glorious, you have to be holy. If someone do not seek after holiness or sanctification, like Hebrews chapter 12 says, if we do not pursue sanctification, you, if you're not holy, you may not see God.
Möchtest du Gott sehen?
Would you like to see God? Or do you say, oh, it's impossible to see God? People would say, that's impossible. Of course it's impossible because you're not holy. Without sanctification, Paul says in Hebrews, without holiness, no one can see God. But the holiness is a prerequisite for us to see this glorious God. But unfortunately, in our daily life, in ourself, oftentimes we're not holy in our thoughts, in our speech, in our behavior. We do not care for the sanctification. The Lord says, a church that is holy, without spot or wrinkle, but she's holy and without blemish. So we must see what the Lord wants. And in Revelation chapter 19, it shows us that it is possible. We certainly gain a group of people today who would gladly give themselves for this goal. Of course, not all of are willing, but there will be a rest, a remnant that would be willing. That's why it says here that the wife, the bride, has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Praise the Lord. And now, righteousness is added. Praise the Lord. Righteous not according to ourselves, but righteous according to God. Because we live Christ. Christ is our righteousness. And then we see at the very end, in Revelation 21, at the very end of the millennial kingdom, there is a new heaven and the new earth. And there we see the new Jerusalem. Chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Praise the Lord. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What is the description here? Having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Praise the Lord. That's the first description. She had the glory of God. From this word, we can see how important the glory of God is. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that if the churches on this earth today are so glorious, full of the expression of God, and someone would come to the church, do you think you still have to say so much to convince them that the church is right? Do you have to convince him based on the words? You see, it's written in the word. This is the church. Oh, and that is Babylon, and that is, but here is the church. Do you need to convince him? I don't think so. Right away, they will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, because it's so clear the Lord is there. One would see the expression of God. Then we don't need to convince anyone. Because the church is glorious. But if there's no glory to be seen, then you have to try very hard to convince people that the church is right because it's written. And here it is written, right? And there's still a lot of discussion, and you want to convince the people, and then they will say to you, but I don't see any difference between you and the other people over there. Yeah, but we're right. So what? What people would like to see is the reality. Not just that we're right, but they would like to see something of the reality of the Lord. And this is also what the Lord wants to see and what the Lord desires to see. A glorious church. This is important. The glory will convince people. At the end of this age, it's not sufficient just to convince people by the truth. Of course, there are also people who seek after the truth in the Bible, and we can show them, oh, this is what the Bible says here. I give you a book, read this book, and you will see this is a church. Of course, this is very tiresome, very tiring. Today, you can no longer just convince someone just because you have the proper teachings. In any case, you cannot convince me. Even if you have the wonderful heavenly teachings, you cannot convince me that you are the church when I do not see glory. There are so many books. You can pull so much off of the internet, and it's free. You don't even have to go buy books. You can gather all kinds of teachings. There are so many sources. And in every place, they can have the same teachings. So what? It is no longer sufficient today for the Lord or for us. I'm not satisfied at all. Just to see churches without His glory. We live in an age today in which the Lord is coming soon. And just as we have read in the Psalms, when the Lord has built up Zion, then He will appear in His glory. I would like to ask you a question. Are you satisfied with the church where you are at? Are you satisfied? I don't mean that you are not the church. But my question to you is that not my question to you is not that are you the church, but the question is, are you satisfied? Can we say, Lord, we are glorious, do come now? Can you say that? In Esslingen. Lord, here is a glorious church in Esslingen now. You can come. You may come now. And how much longer? Oh, Lord Jesus. This is the burden of the Lord for us today. There's no question about it that we are the church. But whether or not we are a glorious church, that is the question. That is what the Lord desires. And that should also be our goal today. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, we want to make the church glorious together with you. The church has to be a glorious church. So you see in this outline, the first point, the Roman numeral 1, it's the history of the glory of the Lord in the Bible. If you look at read the Bible from the beginning to the end, you would truly see that the emphasis in the Bible here is actually the glory of God. And we see that every time when the house of God was built, then the glory of the Lord filled the house. So the building of his house had so much to do with his glory. Otherwise, where should the glory of the Lord go? Do you mean that the glory of the Lord would be or dwell in the tree outside there? Oh, it's a glorious tree, and that's where the glory of the Lord will dwell. No. Surely not. Surely not. Let's briefly take a look at the history of the glory of the Lord in the Bible. First of all, when God began with his purpose, with whom did he begin? He began it with Abraham. Abraham is an important figure here. In the Bible, God's plan started with Abraham. And how did he start with Abraham? Where was Abraham? He was in Ur of the Chaldea. It's a place full of idolatry. There was a Tower of Babel. That was a tower full of idols. It was a land of idolaters. It was a dark place, terrible. And how did Abraham come out of her? Because the glory of God appeared. Do you mean someone came to Abraham and preached to him, "Oh, Abraham, you have to come out of this place. Look at the idols all around you. You don't belong here. Leave your father's house." Would you leave your father's house? And your fatherland, your home country. Would you leave your home country? The entire culture and your circle of friends. Would you leave that? Do you think that if someone would come to Abraham and tell Abraham, "Come on, Abraham, come on, come with me. Let's just leave this place." Would Abraham immediately say, "Okay, let's go"? What then drew Abraham? That it had to be the glory of God. That had to be the case. Otherwise, Abraham could not have left his father's house or his home country. He could not have left all his relatives. Then Abraham would say, "Where to?" To some land somewhere, some country, someplace. Do you think that Abraham would agree with that? Just because someone preached to him, "Oh, there's a wonderful country." Where? "Oh, I can't tell you right now, but it's there, it's there. You have to leave. Would you come?" I don't believe so. Who would go along? Would you? Definitely not. But just as Stephen said, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. That's what attracted Abraham. Without this glory, I do not believe that Abraham would leave his home country. He wouldn't be ready or willing just to leave like that. Don't you think? But it was the glory of God. At that time when God called him, or at the time when the Lord called me, if I had not seen his glory, do you think I would have been willing to drop everything? Would you have been ready? Why is it so difficult for us to convince people concerning the Lord today? It has to be the case that they do not see much of the glory of the Lord. But if they see the glory of the Lord in us and in the church, if all our students here in Hohenheim would have so much glory, you would turn the entire university upside down. Or not. At that time, at the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, when the disciples, 120 of them, when the Spirit of God was poured out among them, they were full of the Spirit. And the people there saw what happened here in Jerusalem. And as Peter stood up, did he give a good message? Did he give a convincing message? I don't think that Peter was a good speaker. His message was so short. You're right, we don't need such long messages. He spoke so briefly, and his word pierced the hearts of men. And on one day, 3,000 people received the Lord. On that very same day, they were baptized into Christ. Why? Because the glory of the Lord was there and filled these brothers there. All of them saw something. They heard something. They touched something. And today, we have to work so hard. It's so hard for us to gain one person for the Lord. Why? Why is it so? Is it because you do not know the Word? We even have so many books there. You can just pass books to people, but you cannot show them the glory. You can pass out books. That's easy and simple. But to show the glory of the Lord, that is what draws people to Him. Praise the Lord. We need this. We need such a turn. We need to change our concept. Lord, fill us with Yourself. We not only want to see Your glory, but we want to grasp it and be filled with it, so that people would also be able to see Your glory in us. So the God of glory appeared to Abraham. It drew Abraham. And again and again, the Lord appeared to him. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think Abraham was so strong? He wasn't that strong. But the glory of the Lord drew him. With Ezekiel, it's the same. The entire situation was not good at all. He was in Babylon. He was by the river of Kiba. He was in captivity. It was not encouraging at all. Of course, he was a prophet. He was the son of a priest. And God wanted Ezekiel to do something for him. Ezekiel had a great commission. But in order to fulfill this commission, First of all, God had to show him and to reveal to him his wonderful and mighty glory. If he had not seen it, I do not think he would have been able to fulfill this commission of the Lord. The same with John. On the island of Patmos. Toby, if you were John and you were in exile in the island of Patmos alone by yourself and you're 90 years old, so old, and you're there in Patmos and you look around, you see so many problems, so much persecution, and the churches have left the Lord. And you are sitting there alone in Patmos. What would you do there? You would be rejoicing, singing, thanking the Lord, and crying hallelujah? Do you think you'd be like that? No? Certainly, you'd be weeping. You'd say, Lord, you did say to me that you'd build your church. And we all thought that you'd be coming soon. They were all expecting the Lord to come back. And then the situation was so difficult and so hopeless, basically hopeless. But praise the Lord. The glory of the Lord appeared to him on the day of the Lord. He saw such a glorious Christ, quite similar to what Ezekiel saw. Because God had much more to reveal. God wanted to show John much more. There was much more prophecy. And the writing was not finished yet. But without this glory, I do not believe that John would be willing to pick up a pen and start writing and say, yes, Lord, what else do you want to say? The Lord showed him the golden lampstands, full of power, full of oil, and many almonds, hallelujah, shining, golden. Isn't that wonderful? And in the midst of the golden lampstands is the glorious Son of Man. Such a glorious vision. That's what John saw. Then he was woken up. And the Lord was able to show John so much in the book of Revelation, all the way to the new heaven and new earth, and all the way to New Jerusalem. In the end, John must have been very happy. He would say, praise the Lord. In chapter 5, he did weep, but the angel told him, weep not. So it all depends on what you see. You have to see something, right? And then, after Abraham, after the Lord got his people out of Egypt and wanted to make a covenant with them in Mount Sinai, God's glory appeared once again. The entire people saw it. All the people saw it. But unfortunately, although they saw the glory of God, yet they were not faithful. It was a rebellious people. They were a rebellious people. Let's go on quickly. And although the glory of the Lord appeared to them, it was just in this short span of time. But after the tabernacle was built, then the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. the tabernacle was filled with the glory of the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you think that the Lord wanted to remain on Mount Sinai? Of course not. Mount Sinai is not the habitation of God. Would you like to just live on the mountain? But as soon as the tabernacle was built, what happened? The glory of the Lord came and filled the tabernacle. Does this say something to you? Does this tell you something? If the building of the in the church really happens, the proof would be that the glory of the Lord would come in. If the glory of the Lord is not yet there, and the glory of the Lord does not fill the church, and on the contrary, sometimes we see no glory. And occasionally we still see the flesh there. That goes to show that the building is not yet completed. But as soon as the building, the tabernacle was completed, what happened? All these verses, you can read all these verses by yourself. What happened? The glory of the Lord came in and filled the tabernacle. We want to see this glory. We don't just want to say we are the church, but we want to say, Lord, fill the church. But the Lord would say, yeah, the building is not yet done. Would you like to move into a house without a roof? And the rooms have no doors, it's not painted, and the windows are just one hole in the wall. Would you move into such a house? You won't. But it's your house, isn't it? You even paid for it. You already paid the company that built it. Four walls without a door, and the windows are just holes in the wall, and the roof is only half covered. Would you move in? Do you think the Lord would move into the church like that? The windows are missing. If there are no windows, the serpent and all these creeping things can still get in. When the building is not yet completed, how could the Lord move in? Do you think the Lord would enter into the tabernacle if it's not completed yet? The holy place and the holy of holies are not separated yet. How could he move in? Anyone could walk in, and in the end, there will be death. Just as you would not move into a building that is not completed yet and not furnished, even if it's finished, yet if it's not furnished, you would not be moving in. By the same token, the Lord and His glory would not move in when it's not yet completed. And then although it's completed and the glory of the Lord had moved into the tabernacle and they went into the good land, yet the people were so impossible. They behaved so terribly, especially at the time of Eli, the high priest there. He had two sons, and the two sons, oh Lord, they behaved so terribly. They were so corrupt, so fleshly.
Alles, was ein Priester nicht machen sollte, das machen sie.
everything that a priest should not be doing, they did it. They were drunken, and there was deceit, etc., etc., etc. They did so many things. Do you think that the glory of God would then remain there? If in your house, although there are windows and doors, yet there's a lot of rats and mice and all kinds of insects, would you be living there? What does history tell us? That at the time of Eli, the Ark of the Lord left the tabernacle. And to be brief with the history, the two sons of Eli then died. They were slaughtered by the Philistines. And the ark left. The Philistines just took the ark. Actually, it's not really that they took the ark, but the Lord allowed the ark to be taken away by them. And at that time, the wife of the second son gave birth to a child. And before she died, the child was born, and the child was called what? Ichabod. Ichabod. What does Ichabod mean? That means that the glory of the Lord has left. Or that the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel. Do not think that the glory of the Lord could be locked in by you in the house just by your saying, we are the church. But if you're fleshly, you live in a fleshly way in the house of the Lord, don't think that you can force the glory of the Lord to remain in the church. Have we not read in Revelation chapter 3? With which church? It's a church in Laodicea. They were all inside. And where was the Lord? The Lord was outside. We're all in the church, hallelujah, but the Lord is outside. How is that good? That the glory of the Lord has departed. Don't think that the Lord is satisfied. Oh, as long as it's my church, it's okay. I will just move in. No, no. And in the book of Ezekiel, we really see that although at the time of Solomon, when the temple was built, it was a glorious house of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord moved in immediately. And the cloud of glory was so thick that the priests could not even serve because they could not see what they were doing. The glory of the Lord filled the temple in such a way. But once again, when the children of Israel started being idolatrous, and all princes and all the priests and all the prophets, you can hardly believe what they all did in the end. They forced the Lord to move out again. The glory of the Lord departed from the house of Israel. Don't think, oh hallelujah, we're the church and we're forever the church. No, no. Don't think in this way. But that we can fall like the children of Israel. We have all experienced this. We have to go on. The building has to go all the way to the end. I was joking when I was in Pforzheim. Before the building is done, do not run away. Please don't run away. Although sometimes it's difficult, continue to build. Let us persevere in the building of the Lord until the very end. If you run away, then you will have no part in the building, and that is not be good. That is not good. But we all have to learn, Lord, I want to remain until the end. You know what Ezekiel means? It means the Lord strengthens. That's the meaning of the name Ezekiel. The Lord strengthens. We need strengthening in order to build up the church, the house of the Lord, in order for us to see the glory of the Lord. You see in the history how the glory of the Lord moved in, moved out again, and moved in again, and moved out again. How many times did the Lord have to move in and move out? I really have sympathy with the Lord because I've moved so many times, in and out and in and out. I have moved so many times. And here we see God longs to have a habitation among His people. After the tabernacle was built, He moved in. After the people fell, He moved out. After Solomon built the temple, He moved in again. And after the people of Israel did so much nonsense, they moved out again, and the temple in Jerusalem was fully destroyed. But fortunately, God never gave up His plan. That's why I like to tell you all, do not think that, oh, we are the church. Don't say it so quickly. What kind of a church are we? We have to ask the question. And then, if we are the church today, it doesn't mean that next year we are still the church. The Lord said to the church in Ephesus, if you do not repent, I will do what? I will remove your lampstand from its place. That means it's not so certain. If we do not repent, we lose the testimony of the church. And that's why, brothers and sisters, let us be faithful. May the Lord show us the glory of the Lord in a practical way during this conference, because this glory is not just for us to behold. No, that glory is not just a beautiful picture that would be hanged up here, or that we will all look at it and say, oh, it's nice, it's nice. The glory that Ezekiel saw was mighty. It was moving. It had wings, and it would run, and then it would fly. It would come and go like a whirlwind. Have you ever read? Did you read about the tornado in the last couple of days? And not just a whole truck. It was in the end. You see how the truck landed inside a house. Who could stop a tornado? In Ezekiel, when we see the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel, how could we just sit and say, oh, how nice the glory of the Lord. Oh, yes, the church of the Lord is glorious. So glorious in Ulm and so quiet. So glorious and so quiet. Ask Ezekiel whether this glory that he saw was quiet. It came to him like a hurricane. What do you think? How does the glory of the Lord appear? I'm not going to ask. Let me ask, did the glory of the Lord appear to Paul? Then what happened to Paul? He became blind and was knocked off the horse. Such a man who is so stiff-necked like Paul, who is so strong against the church. He even killed Christians through his deeds, through his dealings. And he was on the way to cause more havoc among the Christians in the church, and no one could stop him. And on the way, the glory of the Lord appeared to him, and he was finished. In fear and trembling, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Do you think that if such a glory had not appeared to such a person like Paul, would he have believed in the Lord? Who could have convinced Paul? Before you can even begin to speak, you won't even get a chance to talk. But the glory of the Lord appeared to him. We all need this. And with this appearing of the glory of the Lord, this accompanied Paul all the way. He never forgot this vision. And he was obedient to this vision that changed his entire life. It is not possible for someone to see this wonderful glory and yet not be drawn along by it. And today, we here in the church, it's so difficult for us to tell the saints, "Oh, to give yourselves, come, be burning in spirit." You can give such a message, but it just does not burn. Or you may encourage the saints to burn, but they don't burn. But one appearing of the Lord, it would fully suffice. Praise the Lord. So we see that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple. That's Ezekiel 10 and 11. The glory of the Lord left the temple, and in the age of the New Testament, the glory of the Lord appeared once again. This time, it's even more solid way and much clearer. It appeared in the person of the Lord Jesus. John said, "We have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of reality." My, what a glory! It's wonderful. And the people saw a great light. And this glorious Christ would build a glorious church. Yes, what do you think? If the Lord is so glorious, what kind of a church would he build? It would be a glorious church. If we are not so glorious and we have not touched the glory, people who have not touched the glory, what kind of a church would they build? A glorious church? Definitely not. Surely not. And we see that the Lord builds a glorious church. And when the Lord comes back in millennial kingdom, Ezekiel says that this house, what Ezekiel described there, that would be the temple of the Lord in the thousand-year kingdom. We see in chapters 43 and 44 of Ezekiel that the glory of the Lord returned once again. And it's wonderful. The house of the Lord would once again be filled with the glory of the Lord. And after that, it would no longer leave. And the temple, what Ezekiel saw, which was built fully according to the standard of the Lord, when the glory of the Lord returned, it never departed again. Praise the Lord. And then in the new heaven and new earth, of course, when all the saints have gone through fire and have also been perfected by this time, then the wife, the bride, would have made herself ready. And the new Jerusalem would have the glory of the Lord. And this glory would remain forever, from eternity to eternity. And this is the story, this is the history of the glory of the Lord in the Bible. And this has to do with the building of the Lord. It has to do with God's building. Once again, especially for the young people, what kind of a church would you want to build? A living church? An active church full of activities? With ping pong? Football, soccer. What kind of church would you want? Like YMCA? A glorious church. How does it look like? Hopefully the Lord will show us what His glory looks like. But we will continue tomorrow morning. Praise the Lord. And I hope that all the saints would pray much in these days and have fellowship and get into the Word, read the Word with one another, have fellowship. If you have questions, ask questions. The brothers and the brothers and sisters would bring out much through the fellowship and give yourselves. Give yourselves. Okay. Amen. Suffer a little. It doesn't matter. Paul said, suffering at this time is very little when compared to the glory that is to come. Of the great weight of glory that is to come. So if we would suffer for these couple of days, even if we have to sit so long, let us persevere and pray that the Lord will show us His glory. I have the assurance that the Lord will show us His glory. And believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. The brothers still have something more to share. And many of you just have arrived. Okay, lob den Herrn.